Do you like my new camera angle?
It's great. Thanks, my camera angle's still the same.
Why are you not using the fancy camera that they gave us?
Because I use that for animation now.
Yeah!
Nice.
You took the fucking iHeart Sony camera and don't use it for the... What if we want to one day put these on YouTube and you're going to look like that and not high def?
That's fine with me.
You don't give two Fs.
This camera's high def. It's just not 4K.
No, that
4K.
Camera sucks.
It's just not 4K, bro. That's
bro,
all.
You look pixelated compared to me. Look.
Okay, bud. I guess, you know, I guess it's okay.
Let's talk about Disneyland. We went to Disneyland.
Oh, so
we did sure as fuck did. Oh, my God.
Did you have fun? Joelle and Donald made lightsabers.
I did make a lightsaber.
I got misty-eyed in there. I cried a little bit. It was
did you cry in there for real?
Yes. Listen, Disney has to give those performers a raise because they really sell the experience. Like, there are moments, like, when you take out your credit card, you're like, okay, I'm not in the Star Wars universe. It's broken. But then they take you through, like, a dark tunnel and a secret room, and the lights change, and there are sound effects. And I don't want to spoil it if you're going to go to Disney, but magic really happens in that room, and then you leave with a dope-ass lightsaber. I already booked tickets to go back to Disneyland.
Oh, Joelle, like, you should have seen Joelle... and Danil, because Donald has been there a zillion times, take in the Star Wars world. These guys.
It was amazing.
I felt like a proud parent watching my kids digest Disney for the first time.
It was amazing.
Magical. Truly.
Yeah, seriously.
I do want to say that I was disappointed in the Spider-Man ride.
Oh, really?
You guys weren't there when we did the Spider-Man ride.
No.
But Donald, your thought? I know you're probably not going to say anything negative about the Marvel Universe, but I didn't think the ride lived up to any hype.
It was fun.
It was the exact same. It's like they bought the Toy Story ride and just rebranded it with different stuff.
The best ride in the park.
He's changing
for
the
me
subject. He's changing the subject.
Was
he can't
definitely
say anything negative.
Still and always will be. The Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Oh, okay.
Phew. Oh, hell no.
So just the straight drop. Not Rise of the Resistance.
I mean, yeah, that's a great ride too. But the best ride in the park still is Guardians of the Galaxy.
You just seem most geeked when you drive the Millennium Falcon. That's when you came out like.
Well, I was just trying to see how many coaxium you guys got, and you guys only got one. I got two. You know,
listen, we don't know all the secrets. We were not the first people to drive the Millennium Falcon.
There's no secret. Well, yeah, you know, I
Donald
was.
Donald knows all the secrets.
You've honed your skills over
I
time.
Was one of, I was, if not the first, the second person to fly the Millennium Falcon at Disneyland, California. I'm not necessarily supposed to tell anybody that, but I did anyway.
And now the whole world knows.
The whole world knows.
Donald, you know
I think
lot
I got
secrets
in trouble for that, too, because I told everybody at Celebration. They told me and Bobby Moynihan, who also flew the Millennium Falcon that day, at Celebration in Chicago, don't tell everybody that you flew the Millennium Falcon. And I was like, okay.
Who cares? Why would they care?
I walked out on stage at the Star Wars show, and I was like, I was the first person to fly the Millennium Falcon.
What other things were really fun?
How was Rise of the Resistance?
We didn't ride.
Oh, we didn't get to do it because it broke down. Apparently, it's so complicated that it breaks down a bunch, I was told.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I'm sure that I'll be fine. But it's very hard to get on it, and then when we thought we had a slot, it broke down.
Wow. Okay, well, low-key, I'm thankful that we left when we did, because I was thinking, I wasn't going to pressure Joelle into this, but as the time kind of ticked longer and longer, I was like, okay, we want to leave around 4, but we'll do Rise of the Resistance at 4, then we'll go. And when they said, it's going to be closer to 5:30, I was thinking, maybe we can stay another hour, but that's a long time. We're going to hit crazy traffic on the way back. We won't
so
get home
hot,
till like 7 or 8.
It was so hot. It was the hottest time I've ever been to Disney.
You guys, we would have been fine. It would have been all good, but we made one critical error.
What's that?
We drank the margaritas. After the margaritas, everybody got tired after the margaritas. Everybody was like, I'm ready to go home.
The second we got to California Adventure, Listen, I've barely been drinking, but the second we got to California Adventure in 100-degree heat, I saw the margarita stand, and I was like, we need frozen margaritas.
Frozen margaritas now.
And then we had, like, frozen margaritas, and then all of a sudden everyone was like,
I want to go home.
I want to go home. And be
my
the
kid was so pissed off. My kid was like, wait a second. We got two more hours, Dad. By the way, I want to go to the freaking...
Rocco had a funny moment. He was about to get on...
The space one.
He was about to get on Space Mountain, and he felt we had just eaten, so he was like, his stomach was rumbling, and he's like, I can't do it. Then they all went on Space Mountain. They came off. Rocco, literally out of a movie, lets out a huge burp, and he's like, okay, I'm ready to go on Space Mountain.
Love it. Did Henry ride the Incredicoaster?
Yes, he did. My nephew Henry had never been on an upside down roller coaster, and and he finally conquered his fears and did it next to Uncle Donald.
You know, the first time he ever went to Disneyland was with me, and he was 7 years old, and I tried to convince him to get on the roller coaster, which was then the California Scream, and he said he didn't want to do it.
Yeah,
right. Wow. Flash cut to now I have a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
And my 7-year-old was like, I'm getting on this ride.
Yep.
So to make up for missing it when all these years ago, 14 years ago, I got to ride with Henry this time. Yeah. Also.
That's so amazing. Really
that was cool. Sweet. By the way, the funniest part of the day was, I mean, there were so many funny parts of the day. I laughed my ass off, but we bring Wilder, Donald's little girl. How old is she, Donald?
She's six.
Into the haunted mansion, and she's like not feeling it, and then all of a sudden we're in that first elevator part, and there's a giant like witch scream, and Casey goes, "Oh, Joelle," like trying to convince Wilder that it was Joelle being silly.
I thought, okay, so I really did scream in there, actually like Joelle is screaming. Or if I had accidentally scared Wilder because I was screaming.
Did you do a big witch cackle?
I did.
Oh, it was you. I totally misread it. I thought that was part of the ride.
I thought
it was part of the ride and that Casey was trying to soothe Wilder by being like, silly Joelle.
No. Joelle actually did it. Actually did the scream.
Wait, we have to talk about Black Widow because I don't know if you saw that some early... like screenings must have happened because Florence Pugh was trending on Twitter today.
Oh, really?
And someone said, get ready for the Marvel Pugh-niverse.
Wow.
I am ready.
MC Pugh? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, check out IndieWire, Daniel. They have this whole article about how Florence Pugh steals the movie. So I'm proud of our girl.
No surprise at all.
That's why they hired her.
Yeah, she's amazing. And by the way, so Carrie Brothers, our friend, got tickets because he's like that for July 9th when it comes out. And he says to me, I got two. Florence is going to be out of town because she's shooting a film. And he goes to Donald. He's like, you want to be the fourth? And I'm thinking, like, Donald's not going to be able to go without Casey and, like, the kids. He's like, hell yeah, I want to be the fourth.
Yes, I do.
So me and Donald and Carrie and his wife have a date for July 9th for Black Widow.
That's
Can't
really
wait!
Cute. I'm very excited. We're into an early screening now, so fingers crossed, everybody.
It's season 5, y'all. Let's get into it.
Ooh. 5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather around to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach.
What musical is this from? I'm going to change the lyrics, but keep the tune.
Here we go. I got it. I already know.
No, wait. I don't think that's the song. No,
that wasn't it.
By the way, we walk into the Avengers part of the world, and they're cranking like different scores from different movies, and Henry goes, okay, that's Ant-Man, and now I think they just went into Avengers Endgame. Like, he knows. My nephew knows the different score moments.
Love it.
Cool AF.
Yes, he was.
Everybody was. Great. And my whole family, they're so delightful. I love them. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Season 5, Season 5. Mm. Who are you? What have you? Season 5.
That's Jesus Christ Superstar.
Thank you, Joelle. Daniel, yes. Donald, you didn't get that?
No.
It was on the tip of my tongue.
No.
I'm disappointed in you.
Did you get, do you know what mine is?
Yeah, some Star Wars.
How about this
bullshit
one? How about this one? It's now season 5 of that show we call Scrubs. It's now season 5 of that show we call Scrubs. It's season 5, season 5. It's season 5.
Okay. Who were you doing that for? Was it Jess Weiss, our composer friend? You were like, you were. Carrie's wife, Jess, is a composer, and Donald was showing off to her that he had the entire score.
No, they asked me to do it, and I did the whole
score. No, but I thought, like, you'd do, like the hooky part. But you literally went through, like, yeah, he was doing, like, the denouement, like, cello parts. Like, dude. You're ridiculous. This fucking did you spend today, Donald?
I did not spin today.
I got back on the horse, man. The whole time I was doing Cheaper by the Dozen, I was doing weights, but not cardio. And man, I got to tell you, it's hard to get back. Mm. It's a testament to how far I made it because I tried for a second to do where I was at, and that was not really doable.
Yeah, we walked Disneyland.
So that was our cardio.
No, and then the very next day I played golf right after that.
Oh, wow.
I played golf the next day and walked another 6 miles. And today my legs are a little, they're a little worn out.
A little jelly?
Yeah, but I got to say, I will say the good thing about Peloton is that it's kind of like a ski mountain. You know, you can just do it at whatever level you're at. And I was certainly getting pretty darn good at it. Not Casey Cobb good, but good. And today I was like, oof, back to the bunny slopes. I got to build back up.
I like that.
I'm doing it. I'm putting in the hustle, Donald.
I'm going to put in the work.
I need you to join me on the hustle.
I'm going to put the work in with you. Peloton, here we go. Am I going to Peloton, I'm also going to lift weights too, though.
Yeah, I wish you'd join me at my gym. I send Donald pictures because other than my girlfriend, I can't really send progress shots to anyone because, you know, but I send them to Donald.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you.
Uh-oh.
It's a little gay, but
sending
like
you
it.
My progress shots? I thought that you'd be
well,
like,
well, it's nothing but you
is.
And like you, these really tight shorts with your shirt off. And for some reason, I get a weird boner. So I just
It shifts. Don't deny what you're feeling.
I didn't deny it. I just said it just feels a little gay.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
A little gay is fine, dude. We're all a little gay.
There you go.
Everybody's gay in Hollywood. Shit. Right?
Yeah. Listen, I remember, what is it, the Kinsey scale, which is determines where on the straight gay spectrum you fall. It's okay if your Kinsey scale moves, Donald, because you saw my abs.
Your abs are fucking fierce, okay?
Thank you.
You have fierce abs right now.
I met you and McGregor, and my Kinsey scale just blew up. It was like,
oh boy.
It was no longer a scale. It was just like
just a dot with you and
it was
McGregor's
like when
face.
You get on the sea when you get on the seesaw and somebody jumps off when they're on the bottom and you
yes.
go crashing down.
That's what happened when I met you and McGregor.
He was like, "Hello there."
And yeah, you were like, and I was like, "Gazoo!"
That's all right. Do you remember how it was when we met Benjamin Bratt? Do you remember that?
Yeah, same thing. Seesaw fell.
Dude, we were grabbing each other's hands.
Yeah, we were slapping like little each other's giddy. Hands.
We weren't slapping. We were holding. Like, it was like we were trying to hold each other's hands. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's all right. Just let it happen. Okay. Let my abs wash over you. Okay. If it moves, it moves, Donald.
Do you go every day?
No. During the movie, I was just going when I could. Now that I'm done with the movie, I'm committed to going 3 times a week and then doing cardio on the 2 days off.
Good for you, man.
That's my commitment to myself. And I'll hopefully sneaking in some tennis with you, my friend.
Okay, that'd be fun.
All right, let's talk about the TV show Scrubs. This is season 5. Speaking of fit, how fucking fit are you in season 5?
I lost some weight.
Bro, you look good. Do you remember what was going on? You looked like Taye Diggs.
I had a new girlfriend, and I was trying to keep up. I guess. I don't know what it was. I don't know what happened.
Was this Casey or a different one?
This was season 5 is a different one. So, yeah, it's Casey.
Oh, a new one, meaning Casey.
Yeah, it was Casey coming in.
Okay. All right, listen, we're attendings.
We are attending.
This episode was written and directed by the legendary showrunner Bill Lawrence.
Very new things, like the new things that I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, wait, this isn't a fantasy? Yeah. First of all,
this is the ultimate example in all 9 years of Scrubs. The most egregious example of this isn't a fantasy is in this episode.
Yeah, you in a backpack.
I'm in a backpack, and it's not a fantasy. And
then folded up with your feet by your face.
Yeah. And it's not even a giant backpacking backpack. It's like a school backpack.
Yeah, and you fit inside of it. And that's how we sneak into the movies. And that's how I sneak you into my house, my apartment, I should say.
I know. And by the way, I cracked up at it, but I just don't know why Bill didn't just decide to flash out and make it a fantasy. But he really stayed committed to it being real life.
There's so many moments in this that are like that, even with the cardboard cutouts. Get the heck out of here. You hide in the cardboard cutout. You hide in the cardboard cutout like E.T.
Amidst the cardboard cutout.
Yeah, sorry. You hide amidst, however you say that shit.
Amidst. You can't say amidst.
Amidst.
Yeah, there you go.
You hid amidst. No, I don't know how to say it. You were.
A-M-I-D-S-T. Amidst.
You hid amidst.
Nice. You nailed it.
The cardboard cutout.
I did, but that's believable.
No, bro.
Well, what's not believable is that the janitor went into a copy room for 30 seconds.
And comes out with that.
And was able to make a cardboard cutout of me.
That and Turk dropping the birth control pill down Carlos' throat.
Oh, my God. First of all, let's be real for a second. Wouldn't a wife, a woman, be fucking livid on the verge of ending a marriage over this?
No. Not unless, it's
you're
clear.
You're dosing her secretly with birth control pills?
It's clear that they didn't have a conversation about this baby. She said she wants to have a baby, and he's like, all right, fine, I'll do whatever you want to do. It's pretty much what happened.
Bro, and you're hiding birth control pills in her food.
Yeah, because she said she wants to have sex. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. Making the baby is a lot of fun, but once the baby is in there, the sex stops, man. It's over.
I thought women get really randy when they have a baby.
Every now and then, but not every day. Look, you heard what he said. In the last 8 days, we had sex 20 times. Do you know how much I would love that? If my wife, for the next 8 days, was like, we're going to fuck 20 times. We're going to fuck 20 times in 8 days, baby. So you better get ready. Man, I would be drinking all of the pineapple juice I needed to drink. Oh, I would be doing anything. I would be drinking Red Bulls. Listen, anything and everything. To fuck 20 times in 8 days, that's a freaking dream come true for me. I don't know about y'all.
We put that on a t-shirt, Joelle, in the merch store. Okay. Quoth Donald Faison.
You want to quote that?
Yeah, I want to put that on a t-shirt.
That's that's a lot to put on a t-shirt, dude. Yeah. To fuck 20 times in 8 days is a dream come true for me. Yeah. That's a lot of words on a t-shirt,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the other thing, not to digress for a minute, but we talked about putting, since Donald's answer was so popular on Family Feud of an alligator being the most helpful animal to get you out of the zoo. We talked about some merch. Joelle, if you could make this happen. We need someone to draw an alligator helping people out of the zoo and then over the fence. And on the back, it's going to say, Survey Says. all right. Well, Joelle, don't you think that in real life, if a woman was getting secretly dosed by her husband with birth control pills, that she would be a smidgen more upset than Carla was?
It's absolutely about to be a fight. It's absolutely because that's all your hormones. It's all of them. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
If you wanted to have the conversation, you could have brought it. Like Turk could have been like, yo, we got to talk about having this baby. I'm not sure. Instead, he was like, what if I just accidentally choke you in the middle of the night with this pill? Slip it in your brownies. Like,
so then he's giving him to me too. More times tomorrow.
And then he giving it to me too. I don't know. And I'm eating the brownies. And then Cox takes my urine sample in and finds out that it's positive for birth control.
Like, dude, I'm not trying to get pregnant.
You're dosing
that was
everybody.
Hilarious. I ain't trying to get pregnant.
Right. So Elliot's moved to a new fancy hospital, which is clearly, very clearly, just one nurse's station of the hospital they've made look modern. It's our hospital. They just like put some blue lights up and changed the decor a bit.
Yes.
And the episode opens with two big pratfalls. One from me when I fall down the hotel I'm staying in steps. And then Sarah falls for some apparent reason, entering her new hospital. And then I get caught stealing someone's Porsche. Yes. And I have to hand over my driving sunglasses, driving scarf, driving gloves. And then he looks at my crotch and I go, here's your driving sock. And I pull the sock out. I guess I was stuffing my jock to make myself look girthier.
Well, they say when you have a car like that, you're, compensating for something.
I don't think that's true because I like sports cars and I'm very happy with my Peep.
It's nothing like a nice girthy shaft in its natural element. We know that.
Yeah, that's true. But you're saying that if you have a girthy enough shaft, you're fine driving any car, and that men stereotypically with small Peeps like a sports car. That's what you're saying, that you agree with that.
And I just, isn't that like the...
Yes, that is a joke people say. Like when they see a Lamborghini go by, they go, he must have a small penis or something.
Right, I thought that was the stereotype. I was just...
It is. I don't like it.
I have a sports car.
All right.
Horse hospital. Well, okay, let's get into the show.
Before horse hospital, what about baggy cargo pants? Did you see the... I used to rock these baggy-ass cargo pants, and they are really highlighted here in 2006.
I didn't notice them.
Oh yeah, when I'm taking out my my driving sock,
some baggy cargo
pants.
You
see the pants? Do you remember these pants that we all used to wear? Baggy ass cargo
pants. I do remember wearing baggy ass clothes and stuff like that, but you know, I don't recall you wearing baggy ass cargo pants.
Oh, with the wide leg, no taper at all, just like the wide ass leg that goes all the way down. You know, I still got them joints. I don't want to give them up. Okay. Whenever I put on my cargo shorts, Flo's like, no.
Yeah, my wife made me throw out my cargo shorts. I don't have them anymore.
Yeah, I still have one just for memory's sake.
And all my cargo pants that I loved are gone too.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The janitor says to me, how depressing is it being you?
That's fucked up.
That's so fucked up.
But then you'd say to him, you know, I have a new intern coming in, which leads to probably one of your biggest monologues ever in the show's history, eh?
That's true. And it's pretty funny. It ranges from getting the reference to Catch 22 wrong to trying to go to 1492. I'm trying to be like Cox, you know? I'm trying to give them my big Cox monologue.
You mean it wasn't a fisherman who was out at sea and caught 22 fish?
No, that's not the plot of Catch 22.
That isn't the plot of Catch 22. I thought it was. I was like, oh, that's pretty clever.
Really?
Dirk? Yeah, man, God. I'm a dummy, man. When it comes, I said alligator would help out animals on The Family Feud.
Right.
Man,
you also said California was a city.
That was just a brain fart. That was just a brain fart.
Yeah, but Steve Hartwell, the judges gave it to you, though. I think it was a celebrity Family Feud leniency.
Okay, that's fine.
No, we won with it, and I'm happy. And we gave a $25,000 to charity.
Yeah.
For Stop AAPI Hate.
I'm cool with that.
I'm just saying you did say California briefly.
Yeah, but I had a brain fart. It's all good. It happens.
Hey, I have brain farts too. I couldn't think of, what was the thing? A wreck? What's something in your life that's a wreck?
Yeah.
So, wait. This is the episode, the whole episode, we don't see Keith.
Right.
And then we come back the next episode. And is it Keith?
Yes.
The one who later becomes...
Keith Dudemeister.
Who becomes Elliot's boyfriend.
Yes, but a little bit of Scrubs wiki trivia. From the camera angle and from seeing his hands, he's nothing like Keith.
Right. He doesn't even the hair, when you mess up his hair,
right,
falls in his face.
I imagine they hadn't cast him yet, and so this was a placeholder.
Got it.
But, that was interesting.
It was very interesting because I was like, if this is Keith, one, he doesn't sound like Keith.
Yeah, who was it? It was someone just going, I didn't know if it was Bill or not, but it's just someone going,
And Keith never really comes off afraid when we meet him later on, or does he? Am I missing something?
I don't know. I can tell you that Scrubs Wiki said something interesting. It said maybe it's inspired by a MASH episode that was called Point of View, which is from the whole episode's from the eyes of an injured soldier. And we know Bill loved MASH, so maybe it was a homage to MASH.
That shit was hilarious, that coffee machine gag, man, where Elliot's trying to fill the coffee, and she runs to the hospital to get the Foley catheter, and when she gets back, the coffee's all down, running all down the hallway. That shit had me rolling out loud. I laughed out loud at that one.
This was the era. 2006 was when those, like, we thought we were so cool because we actually had a coffee robot on set. It was like when those first things came out, and we were like, a coffee robot? And it just makes whatever you want? It's too good to be true. We didn't realize what shit coffee it was, but we were just geeked to have it.
That shit was hilarious. The whole Turkish thing was hilarious.
So JD apparently speaks Turkish fluently.
Yeah, not only that, but what was the dude's name?
Omar.
Omar was a thief and was stealing your pudding without you knowing about it.
Yes.
And we did a double play on the word Turk.
Yeah, the Turks. Yeah.
I'm really pissed off. Okay, I'm getting really annoyed at the Turks right now.
Yeah.
Was the first one. And he turns around and she goes, no, not you, Omar. I mean these two.
Yeah.
And then you go, I'm really getting annoyed with the Turks right now. And she goes, you too? Well, I don't know what she said, but you're like, no, Omar, he's stealing my pudding.
Omar keeps stealing my pudding.
Very and funny.
And then in Turkish, that is the language, right? Turkish, that's the language?
I believe so.
Daniel, you seem like someone who would know that.
I appreciate the casual throws to me knowing everything, but I'm
sorry.
Daniel,
in my mind, you're even smarter than you actually are.
I talk with confidence about the things I know a lot about and come off like I know everything. I do not. I really appreciate that, though.
I would have gotten it wrong. I do. Wait, where's me? You honor me. I haven't even used you honor me in so long.
I also got to come over and fix your stuff. You honor me.
It works.
Should we talk about how JD bumps
Alanis? Don't rush me.
Sorry, bro.
My God.
Let's talk about how you fake an orgasm, and it's like you have like a fucking full on When Harry Met Sally moment.
No, but they don't let me go for real.
Well,
they clearly
censored.
You know, it
would have
been
NBC
a lot
version.
More than that.
Oh, I can only imagine what you must have done in outtakes.
Wait, you could do it here. Give us
it was
no,
probably,
don't encourage
you
him.
Really
oh my God,
yes, I do,
Joel,
I can't believe you're. I would like the record to reflect for any women that are offended. I'd like the record to reflect that Joel requested this.
She asked for this.
God. You're gonna need to mix it down, geez. I'm sure, Dale Rice.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get me there, aren't you,
Zach? I love you.
Oh my God. I'm sorry about the. Oh my God. He came again.
Oh God.
Some for you, some for me.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Oh, wow.
That's like the ultimate nut, man.
You know what I would
say? You're welcome, Joel. You're welcome. You asked for it. You're welcome.
You know what I would say when that hit my forehead?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
What would you say when I said to you, okay, I'm going to try to come? What would you say?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we've done this on the show. We'll probably have to cut that, but it's funny.
Oh,
but, you know, for the record, Joelle requested it, everybody.
She did request it.
I did. I think we should keep it.
You call me a honky Adonis.
Yes. No, you call yourself a honky Adonis.
Well, I'm saying that you called me a honky Adonis.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm quite doughy this season. It doesn't look like I've been to the gym at all. I was probably having a very fun time off.
This is season 5. At this
I'm
point,
doughy.
I think we were all... you know, we were finding new things that we liked about ourselves.
Yeah, like eating and drinking.
Yeah, well, you know what? If I recall correctly, you were in a relationship, a very good relationship at this point. And so,
yes.
you know how it gets when you fall in love and everything like
I
that.
Know.
You start eating.
Is this the season with Mandy? I think it is the Mandy season.
I'm pretty sure it is. This is right around the time where Raiden is starting to get traction also. You know what I mean? Like he's starting to
catch fuego?
Well, I don't know if he's starting to catch fuego, but you know, he would have a night at the hotel cafe. It wouldn't just be, you know what I mean? Like I feel like Carrie was the one that brought everybody to the hotel cafe.
Yes.
and then, you know, and would always headline acts. But then I think this is when Raiden started to break off and do.
Yeah, Raiden started his own to catch Fuego a bit, and yeah. And that was exciting to watch it yeah. happen.
I believe this is the season that that happened.
It's revealed that I had to gnaw my way out of said backpack to get out because Carla says that there was a hole in the backpack.
And all of her change fell through it.
Yes, and the only way that I was able to get out of the tiny backpack was that I had to gnaw my way out.
Which is, like, this is, I guess, where Scrubs gets really wacky all of a sudden.
Well, dude, we're about to do, when are the fucking ostriches that steal your hat? Is that this season?
It might be. It could be. It's either this, whatever season that we have the baby, so it could be the next season. When we go over to
Joelle
baby's
just
house.
Said Mandy's in the is in the poison episode, My Half Acre. Is that what you're saying, Joelle? Episode 9 of this season.
See?
And she's also saying Turkish, also referred to as Istanbul Turkish or Turkey Turkish, is the most widely spoken of the Turkic languages. So there you go. There's your trivia that Daniel should have known.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right, we need to take a break, and we will be right back with more of this show recap rewatch. And we're back.
And we're back.
Was it I'm Gonna Get You Sucker or was it Hollywood Shuffle?
That's Hollywood Shuffle.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Winky.
Do you think that movie holds up?
Yeah, absolutely.
We gotta watch that movie. We should do a rewatch.
Tommy!
He was
Tommy! You killed it, my brother. I loved it, this dude, baby.
Do you guys know this movie, Daniel Joel?
I've not seen Hollywood Shuffle.
Oh, my God. You guys
Shuffle.
Have to watch Hollywood Shuffle.
The great
Shuffle.
Robert Townsend, the great Keenan Ivory Wayans, the great...
Joelle, it will pair very nicely with Jazz Cabbage.
Then you know I'm about it. Let's do it.
It's morally, it's amazing, too. It all takes place, like, in the early 80s when Eddie Murphy was the king of...
Yes.
Of what he did and his style of comedy was reigning supreme, and how everybody wanted black people to be like Eddie Murphy on auditions and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the words that is used in this, which was used a lot back in the day, was, hey, man, do you think maybe you could do that just a little bit blacker?
Oh, I bet
Hollywood Shuffle.
Was that said to you? Was that said to you, Donald, ever?
Everybody, I think if you were acting in the early 80s, late 90s, somebody tried to figure out a way to say that to you without saying it. If they did say it, you know, wow. But if they didn't, it would be like, yo, could you wow. jazz it up or something? Or maybe, you know,
oh, jazz put
that
it up.
Thing, put that thing that y'all
street. Doing. And then they say, like, can you a little more street?
Right. More street. Oof. Yeah.
More street. What was that from?
That was if Evie from Small Wonder was a racist director, Donald, could you do that again? More street.
Oh my God, that is a deep cut joke.
Or if Evie was a racist director, Evie from Small Wonder was a racist director, and she was like, Donald, one more time, blacker.
Oh my God, that is a deep cut joke. That was one of our on set jokes, right?
That was one of our on set
jokes. You gotta know it, who Evie from Small Wonder is. I bet a lot of these children listening don't know.
Small, come on.
There was everybody a sitcom called Small Wonder, and it was the really, really bad sitcom. But the premise was that the dad had built a robot.
Daughter,
and she looked like a human, but she was a robot.
And talked like a
had,
robot.
And she had special powers.
She talked like a robot.
Yes. Donald, more street.
Donald, do that again, this time, blacker.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, that's fucking... You guys got to watch Hollywood Shuffle. It's Donald says it holds up. I haven't seen it in years. But
I'm going to start making a list of all the movies you say we should watch, and that's going to be our rewatch.
It is a big
Scrubs.
It is yes. a big satire of...
I like that. That's fun.
It's a big satire of the film industry... From the perspective of a young black filmmaker, Robert Townsend, who just I think it was one of his earliest films, right, Donald?
Dude, yeah, he made the movie.
He was
using
so
his
young
credit
when he
cards.
Made it.
Yeah, dude, like literally, he took his credit. He used his credit cards to make this movie.
Yeah,
don't you remember Homeboys on film where they're in the movie theater and they're instead of Siskel and Ebert, it's two brothers from the neighborhood and they're giving you what they like about what movies they liked and everything like that.
I forgot that part.
And they're, oh man, the one with Dirty, they do one with Dirty Harry. And you don't remember, he's like, we give that one the finger. Or, and then there's one where it's Indiana Jones and it's like, he goes, I thought it sucked, but he liked it, that bullshit. You don't remember that?
No. No, but I remember really laughing and thinking Robert Townsend was a genius.
Yeah, he is a genius, man. Like him, yeah. Eddie Murphy, Keenan Ivory Wayans. When the three of them were together, they were unstoppable, man. Like that was like the dynamic trio. That was like the one, the three of them together, they all three of them worked together.
Yeah.
And they were,
you would tell me that there was a lot of collaboration that I didn't know about between those guys.
Yeah, man. That was the crew. They were all just so funny. It was like, imagine having the three funniest people on the planet at the time working together. And that's what that was.
Did I ever tell you my story? Remind me if I told you the story in the podcast where my brother and I were pitching to this like old white woman producer a script. And she goes, you know, you could go black with it. And we're like, sure. There's no reason why it couldn't be an African American story. And she goes, you know, they're doing their thing. And she moved her arms like this. I'm moving them back and forth. And she like kind of scrunched up. She scrunched up her face. And she's like, you know, they're doing their thing.
Oh, boy.
I never forgot that. You don't ever want
her to pitch a movie for you.
I never forgot that.
She should never, ever pitch a movie for you. Ever.
No, we were pitching a movie to her. And her response was,
well, yeah, because she's going to take this to her boss and be like, you know, so I think I got him to go black with it.
Yeah, they're going to go black with it, you know, because we can get them doing their thing.
I wonder what she was trying to imitate, because I can't tell if it's like, is it a basketball move?
I think it was they were strutting down the street and being funny with their arms.
They got the big giant pimp arm walk. Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
That makes, oh my God.
That doing net. All right. Now, I laughed out loud very hard when you see JD in my tidy whities sidestepping out of the apartment. And then you guys catch me and I go, just going to take a quick twosie.
Quick twosie. Yeah. That was very funny.
Yeah, man.
The episode started off where I was like, this doesn't feel like Scrubs at all.
Really?
And then as it went on, it was like, this is when Scrubs gets wacky. This is when it happened.
I mean, we literally have an ostrich that we get treed by ostriches. They steal Donald's Kango.
and they run around with it.
No, and then we can't come down because they're working in shifts as sentries.
Yeah.
The ostriches. That was the Jason Bateman episode where he makes them into belts. He makes their necks into belts.
He makes their necks into belts.
What season is that? Is that this season?
I think it is,
yeah,
man.
It is.
Oh, my goodness. This season's going to be wacky.
My big bird.
Yeah, this season's going to be wacky as hell. You can tell we're amped up, though, Donald. We're geeked. We came in all hot. We came in, like, raring to go.
I think, I think, either we worked during the summer, or if we didn't work, we definitely partied hard during the summer. Like, we were...
My doughiness suggests that I probably partied.
Well, all I'm saying is we were ready to go back and be as, like, we are definitely feeling ourselves in the beginning of this.
Yes, I agree.
You know? The acting is really big, you know? We're like
racehorses or that were kept in the stable, and we're like, we're fucking, let's go!
Right, and we come out swinging, man.
Yeah. Joelle, is there a guest today?
There is. We have a family.
And they're here.
All right, we'll be right back after these fine words. And we're back.
We are back.
All right, let's go to a caller, Joelle. That's always a fun segment.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like it when they're really nutty. We might need to get more people that have open relationships and stuff. That's good. That's good radio.
I do like to have conversations that make people just a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, so I like something that would make Bill hide under a Ted Lasso flag.
Okay, no.
By the way, LA is covered in Ted Lasso billboards. Have you noticed this? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. They're spending that money.
Good, man. Good. It's a hit show.
How funny was it when Steve Harvey was about Bill was like, make that money, and he started doing the money gesture.
Mm-hmm. We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Give it up for Travis McDyke!
Hi, Travis.
Hi, Zach.
Hi, this is Donald Faison, Joelle Monique, and DJ Daniel.
What's happening, Travis?
Hey, Don. Donald. Do you go by Don or Donald?
Donald usually.
Yeah,
Donald,
there's no one who ever calls you Don. Is there, Donald? You never became a Don.
There are a few people out there that call me Don.
Really? Who
but
are
I'm
they?
Not one Name? Of them.
Well, you just met him, and you haven't reached Don status.
You reached Don status, Zach?
No.
I just went to the most enduring term for the closest of his inner circle, which is
Twatiers.
Wait, no, what? Stop calling me Twatiers, okay? I know it's going to happen in public, and I'm going to be so bummed out when someone calls me Twatiers.
You almost did it at Disneyland. That was hilarious.
I know, and then he switched to T-ears because it was inappropriate to yell twat, so he was like, T-ears, get back here. What about when you ran into Frozone, Donald? You had a whole scene.
Hey,
with Frozone!
You got your super suit, Frozone.
I gotta
Frozone
post that video.
Found his super suit.
I got to post that video. You are so funny. And then Frozone couldn't talk because he's in a suit. I was like, I could have watched Donald and Frozone talk for like a half hour.
The best moment was getting off the Millennium Falcon ride with my kids and your kid from Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
And Chewie talking to us and actually being able to understand what Chewie was saying, because
he was doing sign language. You understood it?
No, he wasn't doing sign language. He was asking us if we flew the Falcon. He asked us how we did. I told him I messed up the ship a little bit. He then said to me, don't worry, I can fix it. You know what I mean? Like, but I knew that he was saying it. I was like, holy cow. All of these years of watching Star Wars, I definitely speak Wookiee now.
So you're saying
Donald, I actually have, I can actually do a Chewbacca.
Let's hear it. That's pretty good.
Easy,
all right,
Chewy.
I don't think you don't sound impressed. Easy.
No. Is that good? All right, Travis, welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
Dallas, Texas.
Well,
Dallas, Texas, welcome. House. Mm-hmm. Hello, Texas.
Hello, Texas folks. We love you, all you Texans. Travis, what's your question for us today?
So my first question was, you know, they say never to meet your heroes, and I'm kind of doing that right now.
Oh,
but
you.
I would want to know, when is a moment that you guys have met somebody that you've looked up to, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a hero, but they were better than you expected them to be?
Better than we expected. Like,
yes.
Oh,
their
man.
Generosity,
a couple
kindness.
Of times. That's happened a couple
That's
of times.
That's a good question. I'm glad you didn't ask the opposite, because we couldn't really say that about someone. We wouldn't we speak ill of anyone.
Whenever I met Eddie Murphy, he was very, very, you know, he was always very nice and gave a lot of compliments, you know, to me and my family every time I've met him. And that is a hero of mine. And I was nervous that he wouldn't be like that. Denzel Washington, the same thing. You know, when we were working together, when I was working with Denzel, he very much was the character he played in Remember the Titans. He stuck to it. But once it was over, every time I remember one time I was walking down the street in Hollywood and Denzel drove by and stopped his car and rolled down the window to talk to me. You know what I mean? He like hollered at me while I was walking. Hey, Donald. And I look in the car and it's Denzel in the car. And I was like, yo, dude, what is, you know what
I
mean?
Oh my God.
So like every time I've had the opportunity to meet one of my heroes, it's been that way. The only hero that I haven't met, a hero of mine that I haven't met, is Harrison Ford. Believe it or not, I've never met him. Mm. I'm scared to meet him too. I'm gonna be honest with you, because that is one of those moments. That's one of those moments where
you just gotta pull out a joint and he'll be your best friend.
Well, I hope that would happen, or it could be he's like, get the fuck out of here.
I don't think he would be rude to you. My answer is Bobby D. Bobby D. De Niro. I've looked up to him my whole life. I used to intern at the Tribeca Film Center, which he created and runs in New York. And I remember I was an intern and I saw him get in the elevator once and I was like, I had never even like seen a celebrity of that magnitude before. And then cut to, you know, a little over a year ago and I'm starring in a movie with him and which is coming out, by the way.
July 23rd, isn't it?
July 23rd, The Comeback Trail. So if you're on your phone right now, put it in your iCal. You know, July 23rd. And
go ahead.
And he was just so cool. You know, I can't speak enough to how instantly we were friends and talking about so much stuff. And then he invited me and Florence over his house for dinner. And that was the most surreal experience of my life. And we text to this day all the time. And I just cannot believe that I'm friends with Robert De Niro because he's one of my favorite actors of all time. And so, yeah, the moment I was in his massage chair in his house and Florence and I were giggling, I was like, this is pretty crazy.
So I have two more people that I should probably
say. Go ahead, Donald.
So when I met Robert De Niro, I was a kid.
And I auditioned. Fucking get on my De Niro.
I got to do that.
Well, let me tell you about the time that I hung out with Denzel.
Okay. And I was doing, and he had me do the table read for Bronx Tale, a Bronx Tale. And then I auditioned for a Bronx Tale. I didn't get the movie, which, you know, kind of sucked. But I remember going on the audition. I remember going to the table read and meeting everybody, it seemed like, from a Scorsese film was there. Like all of the actors. And I remember that was one, and everybody was mad cool. But the one time where it was like, maybe I shouldn't do it because everybody tells me not to do it, was Bill Murray.
At an audition, I want to meet him so bad.
At an audition, he walked out of the room, and people. I remember people telling me, if you ever meet Bill Murray, don't say anything to him. He doesn't like that shit. And he walked out. And everybody gets quiet and doesn't say anything. And I was like, fuck, this might be the only time I ever get to meet this guy. Even if he yells at me, I'll take it. And I go, hey, Bill. And he turns around. I go, man, I really loved Groundhog Day. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, thanks, kid. Thank you so much. And then gets in the elevator and leaves. And that just made my day, the fact that he was like, fuck you!
He might have muttered that to himself in the elevator, but
yeah. But still, man, I loved him.
Have you seen the Netflix movie about meeting Bill Murray, where he'll just show up at like random parties?
Yeah,
and like he showed up at some party in London. He was like doing their dishes, and he'd like go up and like eat something off of somebody's plate, and he said, "I dare you to tell somebody. No one will ever believe you," and he'll just walk off.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing like that, man. Yeah. He is a legend. Like, he is an ultimate legend. Like, the fact that, I don't know if this is true or not, but there's a number that you call.
It is
true.
If you want him to
be in a movie, and if he decides he wants to do it, he just does it. You
know, there's an 800 number. I got it from a director because I was thinking about trying to offer him something. And
I don't know if you can see this, but.
Look at that.
Wow. He's got a Bill Murray t-shirt. That's cool.
Bill Murray t-shirt. My wife loves that shirt. Loves it.
All right, Travis, what's your next question, my friend?
So I would like to know, I want to give your girlfriend a compliment, Zach.
Go ahead.
I love her voice, and I could listen to her read a phone book.
Yeah. She has a very, very, very distinct thing. And most people don't know this about her. She has an incredible singing voice. She was, before Florence broke with her first film, she was kind of deciding whether to pursue the singer-songwriter route or the acting route. Obviously, she wanted to do both. And then she got a film and blew up. But she is an incredible singer as well.
My second question. So I wanted to know, like, if you were going to submit, like, a scene or a monologue or something from anything that you've done, like Scrubs or a movie or whatever, let's say it was like an Oscar reel, what from your body of work would you submit? And what would you submit from each other's body of work? Like, Zach, what would you put from Donald's body of work?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd put Donald doing the poison dance. I'd obviously put his classic scene with Denzel.
Oh yeah.
I definitely put Donald in the car getting on the highway in Clueless.
I would put Olive Garden State up.
Mm. That's not a real.
Oh, the whole, you can't put up the whole movie, Donald.
Okay, so.
You're just saying that because you can't remember individual scenes.
Ooh.
No, that's not true.
It's a goo.
But I would put Olive Garden State up. I would put. I would try and throw his name in the hat for director as well. Because I think he's one of my favorite directors. When I know when he does something, if I'm in it, I'm going to fucking be good. You know what I mean? Because he has a great knack for communication with actors. And
thank you.
Let me see. I don't know, man. I don't know. He has a lot of things that are very good. And Whole Bodies, like, he's a great storyteller. So I would have to put all of Garden State. I'd have to put all of Wish I Was Here. I'd have to put, like,
I got a
like,
deep cut that you don't know, and it's from Last Kiss, and it's one of my favorite scenes I've ever been in, and it's me and Tom Wilkinson on the front porch.
On a porch, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's great in that scene, too. He's really good.
I know. He drives the scene. I just, when he asked this question, it's a very good question. I haven't thought about it. And my brain went, you know, your brain just automatically, you know, there's obviously the things I'm most known for, but my brain went to that scene with Tom Wilkinson as something I thought was special.
Isn't it like he said, did you actually do this thing that she's accusing you of doing? Yeah. And that where he says that, and then he says, that's a really good scene.
He says a great quote, which is something that, if I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like, it doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do to the people who love you that matters. What you say means nothing. It's what you actually do. Something like that. I don't know. It's really powerful.
Yeah. It's a very underrated movie.
Great cast.
All right, it's time for Texas's favorite segment, everybody.
Dallas, Texas's favorite segment, y'all.
It's time to
fix
your life. Travis, how can we fix your life? We're here to help you.
My question was that ever since I had a kid, I've noticed that, like, the relationship that I've had, that I have with my friends that don't have kids, has kind of changed. And, you know, my priorities have changed, and I've noticed that, you know, it turns into tension and things like that. And I was wondering how the two of you, has y'all's relationship changed since, I guess, has Donald had kids the entire time, or how do you guys navigate that with Zach not having kids and Donald having kids?
That's a favorite good part of the show.
Oh, there she is.
Hi, guys.
Hi, beautiful. Casey. That's Travis and Casey.
Hi.
And hi. Travis was just asking how we navigate our friendship when y'all have all these kids and I have none. How we do it, because I'm so free and don't have any responsibilities in the children department, but y'all have like 37. Oh. And he's from Dallas, Texas, so be extra nice.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Well, for just to give an example of how out of touch Zach is with having kids. I've been friends with Zach for 15 years, and our oldest is almost 8. And 2 days ago was the first time he's taken us to Disney, let us go to Disneyland with our kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Zach's just kind of coming around now. You know,
but I love your kids when I'm with them. I play with them like crazy. Course.
Hey, I get it. If I didn't have kids, I wouldn't want to hang out with kids.
Well, sometimes we go to Disneyland and it's an adult trip to Disneyland. Joelle's nodding. She knows.
Yeah, it's always an adult trip.
Sometimes you bring the Rugrats because they slow shit down.
Yeah.
With their tiny legs.
First time we brought the Rugrats was 2 days ago. I think he's just kind of meeting us in the middle. We like to have adult time with Zach because... You know, it was like that for so long. So
Zach, I love you.
Oh, God.
Did he play Zach, I love you?
It said I love you.
Yeah. Zach, I love you.
Casey, calm down. Oh, we have a guest here. It's not appropriate.
Zach, I should charge people for that. That's yeah.
We could make it a ringtone, Joelle. Will you make Zach, I love you a ringtone?
You need to be on Cameo.
No, we're not going to be on Cameo. Casey, you can go on Cameo.
But, you know, I think we have to do just as much as Zach does as far as meeting in the middle, because I think I'm very conscious of it. If it was up to Donald would be like, well, fuck it. if we can't bring our kids, we're never going to go anywhere. And I still, I still like to go places without my kids because I had such a fun life before kids. As much as it is fun.
But
now,
you guys, you know, were worried. We were having a barbecue and you said, should we bring the kids or not? And you're like, they're going to be loud. And I was like, it's a barbecue. Have them swim. Who cares? And they had an amazing time.
Yeah. Well, they're also older now. They're at the age now of, you know, understanding that Uncle Zach gets really pissed off if you scream. So they
my only no, not pissed off. I just have a no screeching policy. And Casey's like, I just decided if it comes from Uncle Zach, it might stick better than if mom is like, keep it down, keep it down. I was like, guys, do whatever you want. There's no high pitched screaming.
Yeah. One of them actually raised their voice in the pool and Zach said, yo, it's a little too loud.
But don't you want Uncle Zach to lay down some rules?
Yeah, exactly. My son looked at him with eyes like huge.
Because when it's from you guys, they're like roll their eyes and they're screaming 10 seconds later.
Yeah,
but if Uncle Zach lays down a rule, they might listen.
Yeah, yeah. So
he got real staccato with it.
Yeah, no screeching.
He's like, hey, shut your mouth.
No, I did not.
I know.
Tone it down.
I didn't say it like that either.
I said tone it down. You got real staccato.
But I have to say, you've given in quite a bit over the past 2 years, I would say.
Well, you guys are a beautiful family. And I hope I have kids. I really would love to have children one day. It was nice. There's a child from Cheaper by the Dozen who I really bonded with. And we brought him and his mom to Disneyland. And I can see that I have this paternal instinct in me to want to be a dad one day, and I hope I'm as good a parent as you are one day. Aww. You too.
Aww.
You're gonna be a great dad.
Hope I am too.
Well, how old's your kid, Travis?
Almost two.
Okay,
congratulations.
Are you a good dad? Do you put in the time?
I put in the time whenever I can. Well, I mean, I'm an anesthesiologist, so I get the times that I am home, I'm parent number one, and the weekends that I'm not working.
Yeah.
Guess where he lives?
Where, in Dallas. Oh, okay. I know. I have to say this. I have to say, my kids, I don't know, I can't speak for all kids, but my kids notice when he doesn't help me.
They notice all the time.
You know, he could buy them every gift in the world, take them to Target every day, buy them whatever, but they will still be like, but Dad's lazy.
Oh my God.
But dad didn't help you this morning. Dad didn't do this. God. So I think if you just, portray.
There's no shortcuts, no delegating.
Yeah. I knew it was an issue and that I needed to step up more when my kid was like, yeah, but Dad, you know you're lazy.
Oh my God.
I was like,
God.
What?
Wow. That
lazy.
Must be hard
I
when you're like,
all
but
the
that
things
must be
that
hard
I
when you're
family.
Like,
family.
That
he
must
goes,
be
yeah,
hard
but
when
you
you're like,
help mom.
Oh, that must be hard when you're like, bro, I just paid the mortgage. I just bought you food.
Exactly.
I'm lying down on the couch for a second.
But that's the thing. Like, they can't wrap their head around that. That doesn't mean anything to them. What they see is someone sitting on the couch, you know, whether he just got home from working all day or, you know, like you working all night, whatever, coming home, sitting on the couch. And if the wife is the one doing everything, dressing, fixing the food, doing all this, even if you just stand up and act like you're in there helping in some way, that's all it takes for them to think.
Yeah, right? My daughter, like, I had worked a long day yesterday, and she just ran up and, like, she just said no and shoved me and ran off to my wife.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's just girls. That's girls in general. Yeah.
All right, Casey, we got to finish the show.
Bye.
We love you.
Thanks, Casey.
Because the air conditioning guy needs to get up in there.
Okay.
Okay, we're finishing. The air conditioning guy. We're finishing. Travis, you're welcome. We have one question. Travis, you're an anesthesiologist, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, I had a hernia surgery many years ago, and I remember they gave me something right before they took me in. They gave me a shot of something. It wasn't the full anesthesia, but it was a little. What was that, Travis? That was delicious.
Versed.
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 Yeah, that made
me
feel
common.
Really, really good.
Yes. It comes requested by name very often.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, if you have to get surgery, ask your anesthesiologist for some Versed.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm
Zach Braff.
This is your fake doctor recommendation. Because for a second I was like, okay.
If I ever go under again, I'm going to try and fight it.
Yeah, my patients tell me that all the time. Like, I'm going to stay awake. It's like, do what you can. I'm undefeated.
I'm gonna try and fight it. I'm gonna stand out. I'm gonna get as loud as I can. It's not gonna work. I'm gonna do
just
it.
Just gritting your teeth. Wait, one more anesthesiologist question. And I know this is probably isn't an anesthesiologist, but you'll know the answer. I'm told that after you have a colonoscopy, you still technically experienced it, but then they give you a drug that wipes your memory, like Men in Black, of the experience. Is that true?
I think we're still talking about Versed now. I don't typically give people Versed for colonoscopies just because it's a quick procedure and I want them to be able to get up and get out of the hospital. So, but no, there's no like Men in Black pen or anything like that.
Oh, I heard something that maybe someone was making shit up, but like you really do experience the full colonoscopy and then, but they give you something after that Men in Black's your memory.
No, no. I mean, there's some people that will like wake up. There's one portion where they're going around the bend where it gets real stimulating, and some people will just
stimulating.
Sit
up. Yeah, yeah.
Like cock, or like they sit up. Like
do people ever get erections?
Oh my god!
Like ever? Like yeah.
Like from colonoscopies?
Really?
No, not from colonoscopies.
Oh.
Have you been in surgery doing anesthesiologist, and someone just randomly got an erection?
Yeah, I mean when they're like putting Foley catheters in, yeah, they'll sometimes they will.
Wow,
I feel like it hurts. It doesn't feel like
it's more like uncomfortable than painful. I mean, if they use enough lube,
yeah, if they use enough lube, Donald.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, look, man.
Sorry, Donald.
Okay, hey, no,
Donald.
No
just, Donald, have you had a colonoscopy yet?
I've had a colonoscopy.
You have?
Yes, I have.
I gotta have mine.
Get it done.
I'm worried.
Get it done.
No, I'm worried I'm going to break Travis's. I'm worried I'm going to break Travis's record and be the first one to get an erection.
Oh boy.
Get it done, bro. No joke. It's worth it.
No, I know.
It.
Of course. And we're joking, but all you men out there, what's the age, Travis? We can do a public service announcement.
40 years old.
They just changed it to 40. Now, if you have a strong family history, then you know, they'll bring you in earlier, but it's usually 40.
All right. Well, now we're going to switch to a serious public service announcement. 40 and above, you got to have a colonoscopy and make sure you do not have any suspicious things on your colon. Right, Travis?
Exactly. I actually turned 40 in a week, so thank you for the reminder.
I'm reminding you. Gosh, I'm a good fake doctor. Mm-hmm. I need to remind myself I'm 46.
Get it done.
I'm going to get it done. Mm-hmm. All right. I want to quickly plug a couple things. Don't forget to pick up Live Your Life by Amanda Kloots. It is number 8. Last I checked, it was like, in terms of new release books on Amazon, it was number 8.
Amazing.
Which is pretty amazing, and it's pretty thrilling for her. And I know I'll always be seen as biased, but this is a very, very beautiful story. Live Your Life by Amanda Kloots. Please pick that up. Get your tickets to Black Widow, because everybody loves the Florence Pugh, and they're going to call it the Marvel Pugh-niverse.
Hey,
It's coming out. And follow us on Instagram. Daniel, what's your handle?
@DJ_Daniel. Same thing on Twitter and Twitch.
Okay. Joelle?
You can find me everywhere @JoelleMonique. It's JoelleMonique.
I got to change on Instagram. You're so good at that.
You can follow me on Instagram. I'd appreciate it. We're pushing forward. The numbers are going up. We could do better, though. We can all do better.
All right. Well, tell them your fucking handle, ass neck.
Oh boy.
First of all, twat ears.
T-ears, which is the Disney version, T-ears.
The Disney version is T-ears, but twat ears. Watch how
tears.
You talk to me.
Tears.
It's Donald_Azon. Donald_Azon. That's where you can find
me. Now, as you recall, the underscore happened because he was stoned and hit the wrong button.
No, I was drunk out of my mind.
He was drunk and hit the wrong F key and it became underscore.
Just
which he's never rectified.
For what?
Instagram will help you fix that.
No, it's quite all right.
And I'm @ZachBraff. I'm about to cross 1.5 million. So come on, push me over the edge.
If you guys push him over the edge before I get to the million, I'm going to be pissed off.
All right. We love you all. Thanks for coming on. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of doctors and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's a star.